toying with sexual temptation, playing around and indulging yourself in all kinds of sexual lustful desires, there's going to come a time when you think you're going to get up and walk away, but you can't.
Continual sexual indulgence becomes a trap. Though you may think of it as simple enjoyment or having fun, you become bound by those powerful desires. On the Tuesday edition of In Touch, Charles Stanley illustrates the enslaving nature of sexual sin with a biblical example from the book of Judges. Though Samson's physical strength was unmatched, his uncontrolled desires eventually rendered him powerless. Today's In Touch program contains a warning: master sexual temptation before it controls you. Stay with us for Dr. Stanley's strong caution about playing with fire as he continues to explain the war within.
The story of Samson is the story of a man with great potential who succumbs to lustful temptation, who begins to pursue his sexual desires rather than the will of God, and ends in tragic defeat. The thing that makes this passage so significant is this. Not only is it a true story of what happened in the Bible, the story of Samson and Delilah is a story that happens every day in every city in America. There's no person, no Christian, no unbeliever who ever reaches any plateau in life where they are absolutely and totally can be securely and confidently persuaded that temptation will never make them fall. There is no such hiding place, and Satan knows that. Here is the story of the terrible, tragic defeat of a person with great potential. So what happens? A little niche came into his armor. He rebelled against the truth of God. Rebellion and sexual immorality go hand in hand. My friend, if you have a problem with that, ask yourself this question. What is it that you are rebelling against? What is it that God has said that you are rebelling against? Because the seed of rebellion is going to be found in the heart of one who is toying and tampering and playing in sexual immorality. While we call it toying and playing, God calls it sin. So here's what he does. Samson says, I like her. Get her for me. Well, remember now, it was against the will of God for him to marry an infidel woman. Secondly, he throws a big party, which is the way they carried out their marriage ceremony. It was a drunken brawl. That's the implication of the Hebrew here. It's a big drunken party. So he gives them a riddle. Something that happened to him, you recall, when he destroyed the lion, he came back and found honey in the carcass, the dead carcass of the lion. So he makes a deal with his people there at the party, who were all Philistines, her friends. And there was an exchange of 30 garments, and if they could discern the riddle, then he would give them 30, and if they could not, they'd have to pay him off. So it was really a bet. And you recall what happens. Now listen to this, because it's the first time it happens, but it's not the last time it happens. Notice, if you will, in chapter 14. They couldn't discover the riddle, so they threatened his wife-to-be. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me. And he said to her, behold, I've not even told this to my father or mother, so should I tell you? However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came about on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so hard. Well, what happens is he goes out. He has to kill 30 people to steal the garments to come pay off his bet and his debt. So what do we have? We have a man who rebelled against the law of God. His lustful desires, he began to tamper. He saw this Philistine woman who must have been very seductive. The next thing we know, he's committing murder. Next thing we know, he's in this drunken party, his own party, by the way, given by his parents and her parents. And so Satan has a big stronghold in his life. The flaw in the strong man's life is that he is easily persuaded by sensual, seductive women. So the next thing we discover is this, if you'll turn to chapter 16, verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza, and he saw a harlot there, and he went in to her. Wasn't going to marry her, didn't love her. Now he has stooped. Listen, the little spark of the Philistine woman at Timnah has now become a flame. Now he is just spending the night with another prostitute, with a harlot, in order to gratify his own sexual desires. He knows the law of God. He remembered the warning of his parents. He denied the law of God. He began to indulge himself with a Philistine woman, and now harlotry, prostitution, going from one woman to the next, is sort of becoming a way of life with Samson. The next thing we read, if you'll notice in the same chapter, is this in verse 4. After this, after what? Well, what happened was, his enemies, the Philistines, were going to kill him that night. And so, you'll recall that he spent the night with Delilah, but in the middle of the night, he gets up and he slips away and he pulls the city gates up and walks 38 miles up a mountain and lays them down in order to humiliate the people in Gaza, because you took the city gates away, you took their protection away, the enemy could come in. Here's a man who destroys 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass single-handedly. But it only takes one seductive woman to destroy him. Isn't it interesting how Satan, who knows all of our weaknesses, knows the time when we're the weakest, also knows our strengths, and know when we are the most self-confident about our strength, knows that oftentimes it is in our strongest area that we ultimately tumble and fall. So you know the scriptures, you know what happens here. Now, the Bible says that he loves a woman in the valley of Sorek by the name of Delilah. She's hired by her own people, the Philistines. Here he is, this is his third time. You would think that he ought to know better, but you see, when Satan gets a stronghold in our life, for him it was sexual temptation, lust, the enticements of seductive women. When it got a hold on him, he just went from one woman to the other. It could be a woman going from one man to the other. It's the same thing. And what we find here is simply the fact that he meets a woman by the name of Delilah, who makes a pact with her own people to destroy Samson. And you recall what happens. Verse 5 of the 16th chapter. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him. See where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Now, there were probably about 5 of these, because that's how many cities there were, I believe, among the Philistines. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you, how you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh cords, if they've not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So you know the story. She binds him, and then she says, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he snaps them just like they were thin thread. Well, she says, "You've lied to me, and you've not pleased me." And then she says to him, "Please tell me, what is the source of your strength?" Getting closer to his heart. So he says to her, "If they bind me with tightly new ropes which have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So she does it the second time. She says, "The Philistines upon you." He snaps them again. Verse 13, "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Up to now you deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound.' And he said to her, 'If you weave the 7 locks of my hair with a web and fasten it with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So she does just that. Again, she says, 'The Philistines are upon you.' And again, he's freed." Oh, Samson, you deceive me. You lie. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but let me tell you something. She didn't just get to this man by talking to him. She paid the price. Remember, she is a Philistine prostitute. convincing, and persuasive. If Samson had been a wise man, first of all, he wouldn't have gone there. If he'd had any sense at all, he would have left immediately because she's pulling the same stunt on him the woman in Timnah pulled. But you see, when you get so far in, somehow it's like you hardly feel it. Then listen. He said, the source of my strength is if you cut my hair, I'll be weak. She has his hair cut. She calls for the Philistines. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. The Philistines come. This time, he's no longer free. Listen to this tragic statement. It's a very significant statement. The 16th chapter says, in verse 20, let's read it together. Look at that. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Samson had laid his head in the lap of a harlot one time too many. And this time when he got ready to leave, he couldn't go. He was no longer a free man. Listen to me. Toying with sexual temptation, playing around and indulging yourself in all kinds of sexual lustful desires, there's going to come a time when you think you're going to get up and walk away, but you can't. Enslaved, trapped, snared by an indulgence of your own doing. Satan is the one who says, one night never hurt anybody. And you see, when the Bible says that she enticed him, I want you to think about something. Where you work, your neighbors, or whatever it might be. You see, Satan knows better than somebody to walk up to you and say, I want to go to bed with you. No, but where you work, somebody just passes by and they drop one of these little, it's a very small error, but they send it your way, just a little remark that has two messages. On the surface, it's very humorous. But a discerning person gets the secondary, lower level message. They may not do it for a while, and before long, they send you another message. Two messages, a little humor on the top, but beneath the surface of it, very seductive, very enticeful by nature. Well, after a while, that person may say, let me tell you something I heard. Now, this is a little bit raw, but you would understand. Let me tell you something right now. When a person comes to you with a dirty joke, here's what they're doing. They're taking you and they're pulling you down to their level. That's exactly what they're doing. They're pulling you down to their level. You and I should live such godly lives before the world. They would be embarrassed to even talk about it in our presence, let alone pull us down where they are. The next time somebody says that to you, just say, I'm not interested. You see, they've already sent you a couple little arrows. And if you don't resist and make your position known, my friend, before long it's, would you like to have dinner? Would you like to go out? Would you like to go to my apartment? Could we have dinner at my condominium tonight? Would you like to come to my house? Now, when do you stop it? When it's reasonable, but you know in your heart you're getting two messages. How many men as well as women, innocent men, innocent women, have been lured by a strategist, a seductive strategist, to induce, to incite, to finally bring someone down. I'm simply saying, my friend, you can't toy with sexual temptation. It is explosive. It is fiery. The little spark at Timnah became a flame, which became an inferno in this man's life. It happens every day. And the amazing thing to me, how people can become involved in this, and week after week after week after week, go to church after church after church after church, and somehow it doesn't seem to bother them. Now listen, I want you to go back to Judges for just a moment. I want you to jot this down. The tragic end of sexual temptation. In all of his strength, Samson had a big flaw. He couldn't resist sensuous women. And instead of fulfilling his ministry of delivering the nation of Israel, he found himself just chasing one woman after the other. Now look, if you will, in verse 20. His hair has been cut. The Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from the sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in the prison. Now listen to what happened. The first thing he lost was the awareness of the presence of God in his life. He lost his strength. He was humiliated by being carried in chains down to Gaza. If you recall, where he had taken their city gates and walked 38 miles up the mountain and thrown them down. Now they blind him and they put him grinding meal. Blind, just going round and round and round and round every day. In a life of purposeless, meaningless, endless drudgery, misery, loneliness. Having to live with the guilt. Having to live with the endless expectation of never knowing what was going to happen next. He blew it all because, you see, he thought you could play with fire and not get burned. But let's put that in today's language. What happens today? When a person begins to become involved in all kinds of sexual indulgence, there's making difference what it is. There is the loss of purity. There's the overwhelming cloud of guilt, feeling dirty. There's the sense of separation. And oftentimes, separation in a home, divorce, a broken home, shattered children, sometimes abused. My friend, one of the tragedies in America is that any father would abuse his own daughter sexually. Sexual temptation not only will burn with another man's wife, but it will burn with a man's own precious daughter. My friend, do you understand how God must absolutely, vengefully hate and despise such an action as a father abusing his own precious little girl? Do you think he ever intended to do that? No, but somewhere along the way, somewhere back there, he got the idea that a little flame never hurt anybody. That's exactly what happens to a lot of homes. They just get burned down with somebody toying around with sexual temptation. Nobody ever intended for it to happen, but it happens. So let me say two or three things. Lady, if you have a godly man, you love him to death and protect him. And sir, if you have a godly woman for a wife, you love her to death and protect her. Godly children, or if they're not, you learn to love them and something will happen to them. If you're a single, I want to remind you of something. You not only have the responsibility of keeping yourself pure, you have the responsibility of not becoming a temptation to someone else. Men, by what we say, things we imply, women, by the way you dress, things you say and imply. There's a thousand ways to tempt someone, seduce them, incite them to lustful desire. The Bible calls it defrauding one another. God says it is sin. I want to say to you who are teenagers again, if you have godly parents who give you a warning, I want to tell you, they are attempting to protect you. Do not ignore your parents. I want to say to you, whether you're young or old, when you hear the truth of the Word of God, just like you're hearing it, and God speaks it very clearly to your heart, you cannot afford to ignore it. And I want to warn you, lest you lose everything, keep yourself pure. God will provide your needs in His own beautiful way.